Thanks for downloading this podcast. It's for personal use only and must not be rebroadcast, reproduced, or used in any form without permission.
Tell your friends they can get their own copy by searching iTunes for Radio Le Mans or visiting radiolemans.com.
From the world's first officially recognized sim racing group, it's the Tora Radio Show.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Tora Radio Show. I'm Matt Hunter, and with me, as ever, is Mr. Ben Williams. Hello, Ben.
Hello, Matt. Hello, listeners. How is everybody doing today?
I don't know about everybody else, but I'm doing fine, and so are my multiple personalities. I assume the snow has abated now, and spring has sprung amongst the wonderful world of, I want to say, Pennsylvania?
You are correct, sir.
Yeah,
I've been... Pennsylvania is going through its awkward
careful what the rest of that sentence is.
I'll rephrase. It's going through that weird transfer period where it's not quite spring, but it's not quite winter yet. For instance, it is 40s this week. Might get into the 50s later this week. And we had 6 inches of snow on Saturday.
Oh, pleasant.
Oh, yeah. It's bipolar, quite literally.
It's like that thing from Monty Python and the Holy Grail, and winter gave spring and summer a miss and went straight on to autumn.
Yep.
Well, as you can probably tell through the lack of volume, we are sans Mr. Lewis, sadly, once again. Sorry. Not sorry. He has a karting hangover.
Probably the best kind of hangover.
Well, I think any kind of motorsport hangover is the best kind of hangover.
True.
Plenty from Le Mans and from brick cars and things like that in the past. Well, I've done 24 hours. Lewis was taking part in the 24 Hours of America kart race in Bushnell, Florida, the other weekend. And did 6 hours of it, strategized the whole thing for two karts, which finished second and third in class, third and fourth overall. So congratulations, Lewis. We saw quite a few pictures of his car. It's not exactly a Porsche 919 or anything like that, but it's good nonetheless. So good on him, and fantastic result. And therefore, I think we will be pleasant and give him a well-earned break. I think that's probably only fair, isn't it? Silence from the crowd. Okay, fair enough.
Sorry about that.
just contemplating whether that's just fair or not. A break? A break from radio shows? I don't think so. Anyway.
This is the guy who made us work on Thanksgiving.
Oh, I'm not going to live that down, am I?
No, you're not.
I can't help it. Anyway, let's continue, because there's actually quite a lot to go through. And I wish we had some sort of fanfare sound effect. Or Hail the Conquering Hero, or things like that. Because we have a decent DLC, people. Decent DLC has happened to the world of Forza Motorsport 7, and we are very pleased with this. If you didn't already know, dear listener, then the Dell Gaming Pack came out sneakily. We were expecting it on Monday the 19th, just gone. And yet it appeared Thursday?
Yep.
Is that last Thursday? Last Thursday. That's correct. Yes, last Thursday, because I've got... Hear ye, hear ye.
Hear ye, hear ye.
The Chirons are coming. The Chirons are coming.
You asked for a fanfare, you got a fanfare.
No expense spared on this show, ladies and gentlemen. No expense spared. If you'd like to complain profusely to Mr. Ben Williams and his trumpeting, for he blows his own, you know.
You can
contact him.
For the record, I'm a drummer who comes from a family of trumpet players, and that was from YouTube and not actually me.
Oh, dear. The fact that it was loud enough to be heard over your mouth.
Sorry.
Anyway. Enough of this tomfoolery. Yes, we have the
no tomfoolery on this show.
Just because Lewis isn't here, anyway. So we have the Dell Gaming Car Pack, which actually came as a finally point in the news update, from Forza Motorsport, which I thought was quite interesting because it brought the Chiron, which I think is the first time. I think it's the first time that car's appeared in a game now.
I believe that is correct.
Obviously, the Vision GT version has appeared in GT Sport, obviously. And I think certain people were a bit narked that that didn't seem to have a sort of exclusivity clause or some such. So we've actually got the road version, which is fine. I would actually quite like the Vision GT version to appear in something else, but obviously that's never going to happen. So in the pack then, we'll talk through, we'll do our usual, and we'll talk through the car. So Ben, let's talk about then the Veyron replacement and the 2018 Bugatti Chiron.
All right. Chiron, of course, it's pretty much as any typical Bugatti. It's pretty much just a simple thing of numbers. 261 miles per hour top speed. It will drain its fuel tank of 26.4 gallons in less than 7 minutes at full chaff. Full throttle. Chat. Whatever. Yeah. I'm not British.
Big full beans.
Yes. It 4 turbos, 10 radiators, electronically limited to the top speed of 261. Excuse me.
This means there will be a super sport version at some point.
Probably. It's extremely fast. Until you try to take it to a corner. Once you show it a corner, it goes, ah, and you're off in the grass.
But it shouldn't do. It's four-wheel drive. I mean, obviously, not many people are going to be doing 261 miles an hour when they reach a corner.
Yeah. No, I took this thing for a drive around Sebring, and it scared the crap out of me because it literally has no brakes. Like, I've driven muscle cars that had better brakes than the Chiron in-game.
Again, people from Bugatti, please send your complaints to to Director Ben Williams.
You can reach me at...
no.
Address to be determined later. But
it
no.
is. I mean, it is. You're absolutely correct. I mean, it is a car about the numbers. It's... Mm-hmm. It is a beautiful thing, though. I very much like it.
All the numbers in this car are large, including the weight.
Really?
It's a hefty bugger.
Stop being British.
It's heavy. It weighs a lot. Like, hold on. Let me find the exact number here.
You're so keen to point out the nature of how heavy it was. He wasn't actually prepared to tell us.
It is... 4,398 pounds, or just a touch over 2 tons.
Okay. Well, it's still a W. I think it's still a W16 engine.
It
isn't
is still a W16 engine that makes
and it does
1,479 horsepower and 1,180 foot-pounds of torque.
See, cars like this, I know a lot of people are going to be like, "Well, when are you going to use it?" It's like, it's not about using it.
Yeah.
It's about, as with all supercars and hypercars, it's about theatre. I mean, just look. Obviously, it doesn't work very well.
To borrow a phrase from Top Gear, it's all about making the best bedroom wall poster possible.
Pretty much.
Yeah. And I mean, I'm a muscle car guy, and even I'm going, that looks pretty good.
And I actually, as a design exercise, they took the best elements of the Veyron and improved upon it and somehow made it look more angry. I think it's the thinner headlights, but...
Yeah, I think you're probably right about that. And the thinner opening at the front of the car, which just makes it a little bit more meaner.
I think Jeremy Clarkson said that it didn't corner very well in real life, actually, when he was driving it around, I want to say Spain, might have been France. He just said it was the straight bits in the middle that were ridiculously exciting.
Yeah. I mean, as well as a car guy, I can appreciate this, what I'm about to say. That car is not about corners. It's about straight line speed. So it's always going to suffer in the corners, just, a tiny little bit.
Yeah. But what a thing.
What a thing.
Now let's move on to something, a car that actually a lot of people are turning their nose. I don't understand. People are just getting into the habit of turning their nose up at car packs now, which are it's becoming less and less fair, I think. I mean, we've yes, we've had some doozies of late, but this car pack, I hope, you know, spells a bit of a wind, you know, a sea change in what Turn 10 are bringing us, because I think it's really good. Mm-hmm. The next car in this pack is a car that I particularly like, and I've yet to drive one in real life. I have seen it in real life, but I have yet to drive it. The Kia Stinger, which is kind of part coupe, part four-door saloon, kind of Audi A4-y, A5-y kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
I really like it. I haven't driven it in game. You have. What were your thoughts?
It is a very nice little C-Class car. It corners well. It's not exactly fast in a straight line, but again, 365 horsepower and a touch over a ton and a half, give or take.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to be like the fastest car on the track, but it's a very nice little car. It's not overly scary. It points where you want it to go. And, yeah.
Well, rear-wheel drive and 365 horsepower kind of puts it into the sort of the Alfa BMW kind of area.
Yeah, it actually, in-game, it's actually classed with those and under sport touring.
Okay.
Yeah.
Excellent. Yeah. And how do you know? For me, because I fell out of love with the BMW M3 quite a few editions ago,
mm-hmm.
but the Giulia Quadrifoglio,
it's pretty much just a bunch of Spanish word or yeah, Spanish, bunch of Italian words smashed together, yeah.
But that
yeah.
If I were in the market for a high performance sports sedan, that would have been my car of choice until this came along. And I actually think,
mm-hmm.
whilst the Alfa is nicer to look at,
yeah,
this is probably going to get you from A to B considerably more regularly.
You know, having driven both in game though, I would choose the Alfa first.
Oh, well, in-game you don't have to worry about the possibility of it not starting in the morning.
Good point.
But
so you want to deal with Fiat Chrysler Automotive Electronics or
something a bit more
reliable. Korean electronics.
Ooh, that's a dangerous area. Yeah, no one wants to say it goes like a ballistic missile. We'll just move on to the next car then.
Yeah.
The 2016. Now, this was a really interesting addition.
This is a really interesting addition.
Because I'd kind of forgotten that this car existed, because it kind of got superseded by the official TTRS Cup car.
Yeah. We are, of course, talking about the 2016 Audi number 7 Rotex Racing TTRS. This car is predominantly known for mainly two things. Number one, being part of the VLN series that normally races just at the Nürburgring, and for setting a record at Pikes Peak, which is...
I didn't realize it had done Pikes Peak as well. I knew it had done Thunderhill,
mm-hmm.
which is obviously a different thing altogether. Why was that doing Pikes Peak?
Because...
That's amazing.
Yeah, and... sure, I make to find the correct time. Team met the goal and set a new front wheel drive record time of 10 minutes and 56 seconds. So, beating the previous one by nearly a minute. So, that's quite impressive.
Literally the most successful Rob Holland has had in a car. I literally know Rob Holland from when he did touring cars and had a rather sizable crash at Snetterton. I was like, welcome to touring cars.
Yeah, Pikes Peak is definitely something that's on my motorsport bucket list that I like to go see.
But, I mean, from a VLN standpoint, brilliant addition. Great, yeah. It'll be a great little car to drive around the Nürburgring.
Yeah. In-game, it's It's a front-wheel drive GT car. It's the weirdest thing. It gets classed with the GT, so it's up there with the GT3s, the GTLMs, the GTC cars that we all know and love.
Which is terrifying, because they're all rear-wheel drive.
Exactly. But
where it should be.
But, interestingly enough, it's not... Like, you can throw a four-wheel drive swap and make it four-wheel drive, so that it's a little bit more similar to the other cars. And it's kind of in an awkward place where it's kind of its own class, because it's not technically a GT4 car, it's not technically a GT something car, it's kind of its own thing. And we don't really have anything else in Forza to quote-unquote race against it, so this will potentially make a great spec cup car eventually down the line.
Absolutely.
The Tora Radio Show, your home for sim racing news.
And next.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to need to give Matt Hunter a second for this next car. Please be patient and put on some protective clothing.
A cold flannel on my head. Finally, after six years of wanting, the Aston Martin V12 Vantage GT3 has arrived in Forza Motorsport 7. Although I am going to take umbrage with whoever did the write up for said car, because at no point in the write up for said car does it really mention anything that the GT3 has achieved.
I mean,
Aston Martin Racing has won more than 50 races since returning to competition in 2004-2005. Those wins come across all classes they have competed in, with a high point being a win in the 24 Hours of Le Mans GTE Am in 2017. No, it was GTE Pro, and they've won Le Mans more than once. They've also won the British GT Championship on at least three occasions in the last few years. I'm going to have words. But, that aside, the car is in game. This makes me happy.
Yes. And, to be fair, the only real differences between GT E-cars and GT3 is power.
Yes, power and BOP and some tech.
Yeah. So
the aero is much more limited on the GT3.
In game, it will balance well with all the GT3 cars, or GTE cars, excuse me. So I wouldn't be really fussed about it, but yeah, that there's some information things I need to fix there with that. But no, anyway, talking about how this car drives.
Yes,
It's a GT3 car. It drives wonderfully.
Yeah. It's also one of the most contemporary GT3 cars we have in the game.
Mm-hmm.
Apart from the Bentley.
Apart from the Bentley, yeah. Bentley also a really good car, but point for another
better
day.
Better than it was in Forza 6.
Yes. Anyway. The car has a lot of power. It's 600 horsepower stock. So, and then you can jack up the power from there. So, 700 horsepower GT3 car. Yikes.
Quite what you would. I know. Literally no idea.
Yeah.
It's a V12. You're pretty much limitless power.
Yeah.
Unlimited power.
600 horsepower, 516 foot-pounds of torque. This thing's quick.
Yeah.
It is quick in a straight line. It's going to suffer a little bit in the corners compared to the likes of like the Corvette and the M6 and the Viper, for that matter. But it will more than keep up with the likes of like the Porsche and the Ferrari in the straight line.
Yeah. Presented in its Nürburgring 24 livery, the IQ option livery from 2017, but without the number boxes on there. Peculiarly. Mm-hmm.
I'm going to guess there was some kind of licensing issue with that.
Yeah. Which is starting to bother me, this sort of licensing thing going on.
I mean, most people who worry about this sort of thing are going to repaint the car almost immediately anyway.
Exactly. Well, I've already seen Billy has been produced, has also the TRG cars are also on there.
Certain...
They won't
Cyber racing cars have also popped up.
Yeah, funny that. Mm-hmm. Also, it'll be the work of but a moment to get TF Sport, Beach Dean, all this, that, and the other.
Yeah.
Very, very pleased to see the Aston in at last. Hopefully, well, I don't know, going by the description, who knows. Hopefully, this means we might see the new Vantage GTE make an appearance mm-hmm. down the line. Who knows? There's still a good few months of DLC to go yet, so yep. Keep everything crossed. Moving on to the inevitable, and as far as we're concerned at the moment, still entirely pointless off-roaders.
Yeah.
Is anybody requesting these?
I mean,
anybody who is? I see some people request some really quite pants cars for Forza. I really do. I see some really pants requests out there. Who is requesting these? Who looks out at, on their driveway, sees this giant box on wheels, and goes, I want to immortalize that in a computer game.
If I may interrupt my ranting colleague, we are, of course, talking about the 2017 Ram 2500 Power Wagon. It is a Dodge pickup. No other way around it. It is massive. 7,000 pounds. It's heavy. Yes, it has a Hemi, and as a Mopar guy, I appreciate
ungainly
that.
Ungainly piece of pig iron.
It's slow. It's just slow. There's no way around it. It's just slow.
It doesn't even look like it should be from 2017. It looks like something from about 15, 20 years ago.
I mean,
and I wouldn't have found it attractive then. I mean,
come on, Dodge. You had the same basic outline for the last 20 years. Get on that. literally, only the front grille changed.
Yeah. Get your design department out of the nearest In-N-Out and get them into the design department and actually design something. Mm-hmm. Not the Viper, you lazy people. Come on.
I just want to point out that, and I'm switching between the two cars in the game, you can tell that it's still the same car because I have the Ram Runner in my car and I flip up to the new Ram and it's basically the same body. The headlights are exactly the same.
All unpleasant opinions on Dodge vehicles are solely those of me and nobody else.
I'm going to say my piece as a Mopar guy. I like Rams. I lived in the area where I had to drive off-road, I would buy a Ram.
Ram.
I'm not racing them off-road. If I'm racing them off-road, I'm going to use the Ram Runner. I'm not going to use this. Yes, the Power Wagon's more of a Dodge's answer to the Ford's frippin' Raptor. But I've driven the Raptor in game, and this thing's a lot slower than it.
I'm going to assume that that is the sort of vehicle that is owned by a scrap enthusiast. Or some other person who requires to carry lots of bulk and isn't particularly in a hurry about when they get there.
Yeah.
It's really uninspiring. I can't look at it anymore. Can we talk about the next car, please?
Yeah, we can. Next car, the 1968 Holden HQ Monaro GT S327.
Pictured on the Forza Motorsport website on two wheels, which makes it automatically cool. The guys from the Grand Tour seem to think that women are women are pretty much turned on if you can perform a handbrake turn. I know this not to be the case. However, if you have a car that is powerful enough to drive literally on its rear wheels, that will work.
Two things. One, you can send your complaints about the previous statement to Matt Hunter, care of... Two, that version of the Monaro is not the stock version that I drove. It has not that much power. I'm assuming that one that they're showing probably has the one of the LS swaps in it of some sort.
Possibly. Yeah.
Yeah. But the one that you get from the game only has a measly 249 horsepower.
How do you only get 249 horsepower out of a V8? How?
It's a it's a
biblically
very
bad does your engineering have to be to get that little power?
It's a very there's a reason that we don't hear tales of the Grand Chevy 327. It's not one of their better motors. I mean, 305, brilliant. Most stock Chevys, brilliant. This one wasn't that much.
Let's just not forget that people like Honda and Mitsubishi can get, well, Mitsubishi definitely, can get nearly 400 brake horsepower of a tiny 2-liter engine.
You have to remember, though, this is Holden's first quote-unquote muscle car.
Right.
Yeah.
No. I'll give them the due.
Yeah.
They got a lot better. But I'm just baffled by the lack of power from such a reasonable engine.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, what should have been a reasonable engine. Anyway, it's a nice Holden, and it's better than that horrible Ram nonsense where you just made me look at. So, oh no, it gets worse.
Okay, no. Again, if I may interrupt my complaining colleague,
he's about to disagree with me.
Matthew. The last car in the pack is a 2018 Dodge Durango SRT. Again,
why is it named after a lizard?
I don't know. Marketing? They saw the Viper and thought, man, that was brilliant. Maybe we should name another car after a...
Let's name it after a really rubbish animated film that hardly anybody watched. Anyway.
There was a Durango film?
Yes. A little lizard. It's called Durango.
I don't remember that. Anyway.
Pun that ruined. Anyway, crack on. Regale me with stories about why this isn't rubbish.
For a 6.4 liter Hemi, yay. Mm-hmm. Weighs much less than the Ram, yay.
That's not difficult.
Weighs 2,000 pounds less than the Ram, I had to go check, yay. It's basically the previous generation's Hemi that we've been using. It's not the Hellcat engine. That's a different Durango.
That would be cool, though.
Other subject, yeah. It's an SRT, so that means it's much more track-focused than your typical SUV. It comes from the same vein as the... Oh, what was it? The Jeep... Trailhawk?
Cherokee?
No. The Cherokee from the last one that I can't think of its name. Trackhawk, excuse me. Trailhawk's the off-road version that has the Hellcat. It's from that same type of vein. It's probably got the same suspension and everything else in it because it's a Dodge.
I know you can't see me, listeners, but I am carrying a face of complete nonchalance at this.
I mean, look, at the end of the day...
He's going to stop doing shows with me soon.
At the end of the day, it's another SUV in a racing game that we just don't need. Sorry.
Apparently, yeah.
We just don't need
Apparently we do.
I mean, unless Forza wants to explain to us why they're having so many SUVs.
Even if...
Maybe if we're having, like, an off-road...
Even if we were having an off-road expansion. Even if we were having an off-road expansion.
My voice is doing the high thing.
Stop doing the high thing.
Sorry.
Friends become enemies, enemies become friends. Anyway. No, you just get back. You just get back to producing your rubbish DLC.
Back on topic, please.
Even if they are producing an off-road DLC, which one would assume is more to do with World Rallycross?
Yeah.
Of which they have... No, it's Global Rallycross they've got a partnership with, isn't it? It's GRC, not...
yeah, it's GRC. World Rallycross. I mean, it's not the same type of partnership as...
Yeah, I would very happily drive those cars at high speed around off-road tracks. Under no circumstances am I going to drive a Durango or a Ram. Who's going to find that fun? Who is going to find that fun? Have we got those big bouncy monster truck things in this? I forget. They drive off ramps.
Why am I blanking on this? This is a series of the Hot from the Watch. Trophy truck. There's a couple of trophy trucks. Right, a Honda Trophy Truck.
So, yes, we're
having Ram Runner's technically a trophy truck, but it's not really.
So, yes, we're having an off-road pack at some point then.
Probably, yeah.
Let's just dot the I and cross the T on that. I would still very much like an IMSA pack, since they're making a big noise about being involved with IMSA. And,
yeah,
you know,
and like some... as someone
and if, if it could come just before the ASCC finishes, that'd be
Yes, and as someone who is the ASCC coordinator, I would like to have some DPIs. Because then that would make my life so much easier.
It was DPIs, not BDIs, just so you know.
I said DPIs.
Yeah, I know. You haven't got BDIs. I did say that you can't have BDIs, you wear glasses. So that means you can't have BDIs.
Anyway!
I'm going to watch out for those people with BDIs.
Again, you can send your complaints to direct me to.
Anyway, ASCC. You can tell the wife's away. Not relaxed a bit. That's terrible. I'm sorry. Didn't mean it. Aesthetic Course. We'll just move away to a different franchise before we get told off.
Mm-hmm.
Aesthetic Course. Oh no! We're gonna get told off again.
Oh yeah. Anyway,
we'll press on. They've announced
here.
Completely regardless of what got talked about on Wednesday. We're just worried about that at the moment. Let's talk about the Assetto Corsa Ultimate Edition, shall we?
Yes.
And why this is a silly thing.
Yeah. I have all the information in front of me, so I will read it. Mm. And then Matthew, as the shoutier one of between the two of us at the moment, I'll let you respond to this.
I'm not concerned about airing my opinions anymore. Okay.
The Assetto Corsa Ultimate Edition will be launched on April 20th for the Xbox One and the PlayStation 4 consoles. It will include all the DLCs that have been released up to this point, including the Prestige Pack, the three Porsche Packs, the Red Pack, which is basically the Ferrari Pack, the Raid the Race Pack, the Japanese Pack, and the upcoming Ferrari 70th Edition DLCs. That means...
And that's already out.
Oh, wait, that is out?
Yeah,
oh, yeah, it is.
It's the... What
I remember we talked about this on the show.
Yes.
Oops. Anyway, so
but it's so hard. It's so hard to tell.
Yeah. Anyway, that's 170 tailored to perfection cars, as they like to point out.
Yeah.
That includes cars from Ferrari, Porsche, BMW, Audi, Lamborghini, McLaren, Parga. I never heard of that car company.
Praga.
Yeah. Never heard of that.
Not the shoe company, don't worry.
Okay. No, that's Prada.
Yeah, I know.
Anyway, Corvette, Maserati, Lotus. Wait, Corvette isn't the manufacturer.
Chevrolet is the manufacturer.
Yeah.
Corvette's the brand.
What are you doing? Instead of Corsa? Anyway,
AMG.
I'm sorry. Pause for a second. They're including cars from, so that instantly means to me they're talking about manufacturers, and they're talking about manufacturers except for Corvette. One of those is a manufacturer except Corvette.
Yes, it's the Chevrolet Corvette. I suppose
details matter, people.
Corvette is referred to in its own right, isn't it? On many occasions, although
it is,
yes,
but
it's
still,
technically Chevrolet.
It's still Chevrolet.
We don't refer to
all 911s as 911. It's the Porsche 911.
Yes, we don't go to a 911 shop, do you?
No, you don't go to a Corvette shop either.
Technically, a 911 shop over there is a police station, isn't it?
I see what you did there. Anyway,
sorry.
So, I said, of course, the Ultimate Edition also boasts 33 track configurations from 16 circuits, including Spa, the Nordschleife, Gotesnica, and many others.
Most of which are in Italy.
Yes. Players will enjoy the full suite of race modes in single player, or to be able to compete with friends in online multiplayer challenges. Something that they
don't work.
Anyway, and they have the option of even customizing driving experiences by adjusting the handling and race setup for each and every car in the game to match their personal racing style. Matt Hunter, your response.
I like Assetto Corsa. I think it's a very good game. I think there's a lot to like about it. It's got some of my favorite cars in it that aren't in other games.
I was expecting a bit more fire than that.
You will. It's just, it generally has got a lot of really good things going for it. I've got to be careful how I word this. It's great if I'm playing on my in single player mode. That's the best way of saying it. But that does get dull after a while, and sometimes you want some friends to play with online as well. And that's lacking insofar as it doesn't seem to have a lot of console support at the moment. And also the other big thing of the fact that consoles are still very much behind PCs in terms of what's actually being given to them. And then within the console releases, PlayStation seems to get it before Xbox gets it. And then within that, we've now got an Ultimate Edition that's coming out in 2 months. About 2 months.
2 months.
Yeah. Coming out in two months' time.
Thursday. Today's Thursday. Tuesday was the 20th. So.
Which is still probably before Laguna Seca is going to show up on the Xbox version.
Mm.
Having only just come out on the PlayStation version. So, yeah, it's... I understand, obviously, there's a natural thing where it's easier to produce additional content for PC, that kind of thing. I get that. But one of the complaints I do see very often on posts that are said, of course, put out about upcoming content is the why do consoles seem to always lag behind? Why can't you get some sort of parity? It's a shame. I wouldn't be releasing an Ultimate Edition before all of the current content had already come out. And as we were discussing off show, because the online element isn't as prevalent as perhaps it should be,
mm-hmm.
I haven't played it for months.
I haven't either.
Which is really disappointing because, as I say, I really like it. The track choice is...
I mean, there's a couple.
Okay.
Yeah, but if there's a track that we specifically want to drive on, there's 5 times out of 10 probably. It's also going to be included on Project Cars 2.
Yeah, or Forza.
Or
most,
Forza.
Most of the tracks that are on this game are on other games that do the job significantly better.
Mm-hmm.
The only ones that aren't are some of the very specific Italian circuits like Vallelunga and places like that. Don't get me wrong, brilliant circuits, you know, really, really cool. Imola, you know, also very good circuit, but also on Project Cars.
Imola, yeah.
You know, fantastic circuit, but there's better games to play them on at the minute, and that's, to me, that lets it down. You know, and I really sort of hope that. I just hoped it would be better. I really, really did. I had such big hopes for this game when it first came out, and it's basically
Project Cars 1 all over again.
It is, except for there's even more leaning towards the PC generation.
Yeah,
you know, and there's even less support for there's less support for the consoles.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I really hope that's not the case. I really hope that, you know, these things are absolutely, you know, maxed out as much as they can for all the platforms that they're produced for, and all their customers are treated equally, except for the customers aren't treated equally, because if they were treated equally, then we'd all get packs on the same days. But, you know, I appreciate there's things behind the scenes that we don't necessarily understand.
And as I talked about a couple months ago when I was hosting the show, Xbox and Microsoft have this weird, like, approval thing that they always have to go through before, like, an update can be live. So why they aren't thinking of that ahead of time and going and, like, applying in advance so that things can come out at the same time is beyond me.
Yeah. Yeah, you just change you get your longest date, and then you work back from that, don't you? That's pretty much how it should work. Right, we've got to be careful about how we do this one. Because it consists of a publisher that we really, really rate, and a title that we really, really rate. So Codemasters are going into the esports business in partnership with Gfinity, and also the network that dare not speak its name, to produce the inaugural Dirt World Championships, which is starting to... they've started.
Monday.
Blimey.
Yeah, Monday.
Yeah, sorry. Not paying attention to when things are starting. Mm-hmm. Which is very cool. And actually, the winners of the Dirt World Championships will be able to win a test drive at the Silverstone RX circuit in a stunning RX2 Rallycross car, which is actually quite cool. Because having seen that track being developed, that's actually quite a nice little circuit to mess around on. But yes, so they'll compete online. People who enter will compete online in rally and rallycross events to earn a place in the live-streamed quarterfinals and semifinals before getting a place at Speed Machine, mm-hmm. which is the what's going to be the World Rallycross event, the whole rally World Rallycross event at Silverstone, mm-hmm. Which is what took over from Lyddon Hill recently, which is also in-game. Not sure if the Silverstone circuit's in-game. Be interesting to find out. Mm-hmm. I haven't got Dirt 4. Probably should get it.
Something I find interesting about this championship is that they're bringing the top two times from each platform. So, two drivers from PlayStation, two drivers from Xbox, and two drivers from PC. It's very world's fastest gamer of them.
Well, it's not entirely new because it's very similar to how the WRC Esports Championship works as well.
Oh yeah, good point.
Because they do the top times. They do sort of the times from PC. Well, they combine them all, but you still get a breakdown of the top times from each platform, mm-hmm. Which is very good. Which reminds me, I really should actually do another one because I did Monaco and actually didn't do too badly. It was quite good. It's a lot of fun actually, I have to say. Mm-hmm. Yes, WRC Esports, get involved.
Bottom line is that, yay, Codemasters is in esports.
Yes.
We have more developers becoming interested in esports, which...
Well, technically, they already have been, because, of course, they
in
partnership with AOR. They've been doing the F1.
How about that?
Yes, absolutely.
Correct if I'm wrong, this is the first time Dirt has entered the esports arena, hasn't... Is it?
I think, certainly on a scale that they're working at, yes, I think that's probably correct.
Yeah, so... Our...
I mean, the other major difference is the fact that the... With Gfinity involved, the opportunity for them to stream and televise it will be quite interesting. It'd be interesting if they just do the rallycross stuff in the later stages, or whether they still do rally stages as well.
Mm-hmm.
Because actually, bearing in mind how good televised real World Rally Championship looks now, it really lends itself, I think, to... Because
mm-hmm.
not only is it good for people who watch rallying anyway, but it shows up. Things rallying games have that unique ability to show off the graphical capability of a console and the game console.
Yeah, and from what I remember from Dirt 4, because again, it's been a couple months since I've played it, because Forza, tour events. I'm always busy. Yeah. Anyway. They have really nice camera angles from the replays. They have very nice graphics in general. I'm interested in see how they broadcast this, because I don't remember a spectate mode as such. I think there was one. I don't remember now.
Time for some research.
Yeah.
In the meantime, if you are interested in getting involved in the competition, then head over to www.dirt4game.com/esports for all the details of that.
Mm-hmm. And to finish the thought that we started earlier, our little hobby here that we do with sim racing keeps growing. Mm. Keeps growing.
Oh, we were on the crest of a wave.
Mm-hmm.
We
didn't start the fire.
Put it away.
Sorry.
I get post-traumatic stress every time that song comes on now. It's always on in my office. It's very, very alarming.
Anyway, since we're talking about Spectate, we should probably move on to the last piece of Forza news.
Yes, the esports element, which came back, which is absolutely fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, a much requested feature was the return of certainly esport elements that allowed communities to really sort of show off what they're doing and just make things a bit easier.
Yeah.
And the first element of that came with the update last Thursday, which largely focuses around the reintroduction of an initial spectate mode, which is going to have additional elements built into it at later points, which is really, really good to see.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm okay with a soft launch of spectate mode, just so that whenever they get the full UI, like the ticker, the telemetry, etc. out, that it will be working pretty good.
Mm. And the other element that they've added initially, it's had a bit of a rebranding exercise, but we know what it means. Seed of the Grid, which is an interesting way of putting
yeah,
it.
Yeah, let's just go with interesting name there. I'm not quite sure what they were thinking when they did that.
Basically, it's grid ordering.
Yeah.
Which is perfect.
Yep, we have been using it very successfully, especially for American Iron. The Thursday that came out, we used it the next evening, and it's actually pretty easy to use. If you use the Forza 6 version of it, it's actually going to be not foreign to you. It does take you to a new screen so that you can actually see like positions listed off. It isn't just in the main like lobby screen as it was the last time, and it gives you the same option as when you launch the race. It shows you the screen again, so you can make final adjustments.
Which was part of the Forza 6 element, which was really, really good. Does it do the? Because I haven't tried it yet. Does it do the dramatic segue through the middle of the grid?
It does not yet. I'm assuming that's one of the features that are coming in the future.
Oh, Segway Cam is brilliant. They need that again.
yeah, Segway Cam is pretty fun.
But no, I mean, and as a starting point, great to see these two elements back. Great for us. Great for communities who are doing organized racing. It's very, 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 very useful. We're very much looking forward to making the most out of spectate mode. I suspect, Ben, we will see this primarily when we do Sebring in a few weeks' time.
Yes, YMTV has again said that they are very interested in covering our Sebring race, so it's not going to be nearly as pretty as it was in Forza 6 because we don't have the ticker, but it's going to look pretty good.
Well, you'll be able to see it, which is a
that's a
big step forward.
Yeah.
So, that's fantastic. So, great work from the guys at Turn 10 to get those features, those initial features out. I suspect as we see them get closer to the FRC event at Seattle on March 24th. I think it's March 24th.
Yes.
On March 24th, we'll probably see a few more bits come out before then. Obviously, we'll have another DLC between now and then as well, but I'm sure there'll be another update coming then. In fact, the Forza, the FRC element is probably something we really should touch on just quickly before we move on, because FRC is back.
Is back with a vengeance.
Yeah, they're starting with a pre-season invitational presented by IMSA, so that's coming from the home of Turn 10 in Seattle. Then they're doing the regular Forza RC season. It's kind of in two parts.
Yeah.
So the calendar season one runs from April the 2nd to May the 23rd, with playoffs taking place June 16th and 17th. That's a bit controversial because that's Le Mans.
Mm-hmm.
That's taking place live in Seattle. Then season two runs from July 9th through to August 29th, with the Season 2 playoffs taking place at the weekend of September 29th and 30th, live in Mexico City.
That's interesting. It's very interesting.
Yeah, it's a bit different to Seattle. Mm-hmm. And then, perfect for me, the World Championship finale takes place in October 2018, live from London. A mere train journey away for me, so that's really, really good. Mm-hmm. So they really, really are pushing the Forza RC element of it, and I definitely think that we're going to see a lot more in terms of esports elements coming from that as the year progresses. So fantastic work. Speaking of esports and all things racing-y type stuff, we really should probably start talking about ours.
Yeah, probably.
and I think the biggest one we can really talk about, I mean, we'll touch on how things are looking for Sebring in a little while, Ben. But first, we'll talk about the Daytona, the TASCAR Daytona race, which happened the other weekend. Very exciting race by all accounts.
Yes. The unexpectedly massive amount of people who wanted to take part in the race, I think a grand total of like 64 people qualified. We had 54 cars on the track. Yeah. It was a huge turnout, really. And it really came down to not the duels as much where you would have like a two-lap qualifying, and then you would have like the left and right sides of the row have different races to determine your final grid position. We actually did a 30-minute qualifying session, which basically shunted a lot of the guys on wheels, just because it's a little bit easier with a steering wheel to hold your line in the corner at Daytona. Shuttle them up towards the front of the field, much to the chagrin of controller users, and we heard endless grief about that. Thank you, community. Anyway, we saw a lot of... It became basically the race of the wheel users and a couple controller users, and then as controllers back down the field from there. It's a really interesting race. I actually led a good portion of the race in a lobby, given my new wheel. Thank you, Christian. I actually led a good number of laps before I made a mistake on pit exit, and I got cycled back through the field. We had a couple cautions in A-Lobby. It was really nice, though, to have a mostly uninterrupted race, where we'd have to do like segments of 50 laps every time you wanted to do longer races. I ended up actually finishing 10th, which is a couple spots down from when I originally qualified. However, winning the race would be XPR Chicane in his Toyota Camry, followed by Nick Taunton in his Ford Fusion, and our own HCR Noodle coming in third with his Ford. So, it was a really good race. I'm really looking forward to the rest of the TASCAR season this year.
On top Chevy was BDR Nightlock. Down in sixth, and season and championship organizer, Mr. Jordan Gross, only managed eighth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there was a last minute caution where Jordan was leading when he actually got taken out by a lap down car, and it shuttled him back towards the back of the field.
Oh dear.
Yeah.
But all in all, a good event, and 53 cars entered overall. No, 54.
54, yeah. 54 cars raced.
Very good.
We had a lot more qualify but not show up for the main race.
But that's absolutely fantastic. Brilliant, brilliant turnout. Thank you to the Checkered Flag for their continued support of TASCAR. Brilliant to have them on board for that series. Mm-hmm. Okay, we'll just quickly round up and have a quick look at the LMP3 Esports Championship. Very good series so far. We've tried to stream as many races as we can. There's been a few issues with the race at Brands Hatch, so the second race was unfortunately not streamed. I'm going to try and get those the remaining races that we've done, so the first two rounds, the first race at Brands, and then the races that took place at Spa the other day, just Tuesday just gone. We'll try and get those on as quickly as we can. Looking to be well, it looks like it's going to eventually be quite close towards the end. We've had a good range of winners, and it's perhaps unsurprisingly ending up being a bit of a battle between EVR and Team Momentum. Great to see again, and some of the content that's being pushed out with this on social media is absolutely fantastic. So thank you very much to all the competitors who are putting that content out there, and also, of course, a big thank you to everyone at LMP3 Cup for continuing to support the series. And we look forward very much to hopefully getting to some of the real track action later in when the season really kicks off. Mm-hmm. Let's see what else we need to talk about, because goodness knows I'm going to forget.
We should probably mention Sebring, since that is only 3 weeks away.
Yeah. Yes, we do very much need to talk about Sebring. Now, mm-hmm. First things first, Ben. Obviously, people who have been on the forums for a little while will know about the situation regarding numbers. We really probably should mention it now, because we haven't so far, and it's kind of a big deal.
And our time is running very short.
Yes.
So, basically, here's how this is going to happen. In years past, Tor has always... pretty much always had a site-wide number, so any race series that you did on Tor, you had a number that would be the same across all of them. You used to use it to sign in for racing events, we used to be able to track how you were racing, your penalties, etc. with that number, but we've actually changed the entire system. We've had a lot of growth over the last 6 or 7 months now. Which is a good thing, but it's also kind of showing how having a site-wide number leads us with chances that we're actually going to physically run out of numbers. We originally had 4 through 999 available, and sometimes there would be people who would sign up for a series, not race, or someone who would reserve a number and not race and quite some time, sometimes in some cases 3 to 4 years, only to pop back up just to reserve their number. So we're basically doing away with all of that. We're going to series specific numbers. So if you want to run a certain number during a certain series, you need to show up on time to register. We are planning on across the site to have all registrations open 3 weeks ahead of when the series starts. So if I have a series that starts on March 22nd, then this is just an example, then I would open the series registration on March 1st. Of course, this is a pretend series. This is just for example usage. So that it would open exactly 3 weeks before the racing would start. If that made any sense. And what we also did to kind of reward the drivers who show up and race every year to year at series to series is that if you raced in the series prior, you're actually able to keep hold of that number from the previous series. So, example.
I believe the decision was a week's grace.
To maintain
your number.
Yes.
After which that number then becomes public.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, since I ran 13 last year in TASCAR, now I'm going to keep 13 because I already started the season before I made the decision. I'm just using this as an example. If I raced in TASCAR last year with number 13, I have that week prior to that open registration, if that makes sense, to reserve my number 13 for the series. If you have any questions about that, because I know I'm trying to explain this extremely quickly because we are running very short on time, be sure to check out the forums.theonlineracingassociation.com. There'll be a section there for the new Tora racing number thread. I can't remember exactly what we named it. So you can read up on everything there. Did I miss anything? I don't think I missed anything.
No, I mean, just what, of course, what it does mean is what's very good is teams who have partnerships with real racing teams, they have a good opportunity to utilize the real racing numbers as well, which makes their replicas even more accurate.
Yeah.
Because, of course, they can do that. Again, as you rightly said, it also alleviates the problem of numbers across different series. It also means with our endurance races, we can run a more accurate numbering system. So, for example, Le Mans and Sebring, actually, you're likely to see numbers 1 to 50 being for the prototypes, and then from 51 onwards being GT classes. So you get that proper separation, and it just makes it look even more representative of what people who are used to watching these things in real life are likely to understand and recognize, which is exactly what we're trying to achieve here. So that's great.
Yeah, and it definitely alleviates some administrative responsibilities from the Toro staff and the community that helps us. So I think it would be a great change.
Everything will work out right in the end, as they say. Mm-hmm. And speaking of the end, it's time for this one to do so.
Yeah, we didn't really get to talk about Sebring, but if you have more questions about Sebring, go check out all the forums. I pretty much spelled as much as I can out there. If you have any particular questions, message me on the forums, shoot me a DM on Twitter. I'm sure we've publicized my Twitter handle by now at some point.
Well, and also, just contact us at @TheReal_Toro. Furthermore, keep your eye out on said Twitter handle and also our friends at YMTV for details of the streaming for Sebring, the live stream for the 12 hours in a couple of weeks' time, which will no doubt be absolutely top quality as it has been in previous years. So another show has come to an end. Ben, thank you very much for your company as ever. Actually had an awful lot to talk about.
We did.
And it only got crossed twice. So thank you very much for listening, everybody. We hope to enjoy your company once more next month, when even more racing will be underway, and we'll be announcing some details on some upcoming series as well, as hopefully some more esports related fun. So from Ben and from myself, have a lovely evening, have a lovely month, and we shall see you in March. Bye for now.
This program is a Radio Show Limited production.
Tell your friends there's more at RadioLeMans.com.